series, First Baptist Church Dream Disciples, today, the third. I'm preaching on the ABCs of the Everyday Missionary. We're looking at Acts chapter 4 and chapter 5, two of my favorite story chapters of what happens to the early apostles, Peter, James, John, the other disciples. Jesus has risen and ascended and sent them out. And we find that they have this incredible encounter, all because they keep telling people Jesus is Lord. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior of the world. And when we gathered as leaders last year, and we're talking about discipleship, we went through a course, a conference, a couple days, and I said, hey, looking at your church, first looking at the scriptures, what does the Bible say about being a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple, a student, one who lives for Christ? What did Jesus say? What did the apostles say? What are the values, Christ-like values you see in your leadership and the mature people in your history of your church? And we came up with four descriptors. Each one has a main noun with an adjective, a competency, a skill, along with a spiritual attitude of character. And so I've preached on the first two, a joyous follower and a generous servant. And that surely, that expresses so very well First Baptist Church disciples. And that is our goal, to grow into that and be a dream version of each of that. Today, we're going to look at an everyday missionary. I was walking through Vernondale on Saturday and getting my steps in, and I decided to get my mind out of the obligatory duty of health and exercise and just try to enjoy it again. Just enjoy being outside on a beautiful day. I was coming up to the office here and getting some things done and decided, well, beautiful, why don't you just walk to church? And I mean, it's not that far. It's only 15 miles uphill both ways. I mean, no. And so I used to do this years ago. I would take a lot of pictures. You find out you don't do a lot of walking when you stop constantly to take pictures, but the Vernondale downtown community is made for walking. It's just gorgeous. And there's just great architecture and flowers, and people take pride in their homes and yards and gardens, and I enjoy it. So thank you for doing that. Well, I was in this little patch, and there was this little cute little flower. I don't know exactly. It's like a rose, some type of rose there, and it looked so small and young and vibrant. And then I saw some of these magnolia trees, and there was this one bloom, and it was kind of coming into being. It was beyond the young stage, but it hadn't quite matured yet, and it was about to come to fully blossom. And then I saw this other one, and its day it was already wide open. It had blossomed some time ago, and the little seeds were dispersing out. And I said, well, maybe that's an illustration of what I'm trying to communicate in this idea of growing as a disciple in Christ. There's many of us remember those early days when we got saved, and man, we wanted to tell all our buddies and friends, and man, you got to come to church with me. And what happened? Well, I got saved and I got baptized. Man, we're telling everybody. We're bright and young. And then there comes a phase where it's like, hey, there's more to this discipleship, more to knowing Christ and buffeting the flesh and being a putting on the whole armor of God than just enjoying the immediate thrill of knowing you're forgiven, you're free, you're saved. And that's great. But there's also an opportunity to walk with Christ, and we're learning and growing. And then there's many of us who are on the other end of this journey. Man, we've walked with Christ. We've taught the Bible, we've served, we've gone on mission trips, and we may can't do what we used to do. Maybe we're in the full bloom of life, Some of the edges are turning brown, but notice we're at that point of life where we get to seed the next generation of beautiful followers of Christ. It really is no longer about us. We're done far beyond worrying about us. We're concerned about the next generation. Where will we be? Where can we plant seeds in younger people and new leaders and see potential and growing discipleships and try our best to seed their life with the glories of God that we've experienced in our journey of faith? I don't know where you are on there, but I challenge us all to be an everyday missionary. In Acts 4 and 5, the chapter concludes this passage, and every day in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth is the long-awaited Savior of the world, not only for the Jews, but for all nations. And in chapter 4 and 5, the apostles have some incredible experiences, all because they were preaching the gospel. Today, I want to remind us that this was not something given just to 12 guys in 33 AD. His followers are called to be his witnesses to the nations. If you are saved by Jesus Christ and you follow him, Jesus is Lord of your life, you are called to be on mission for Jesus. You have a message, you have the truth, the way, and the life, and there's a lost world to influence, to inspire, to intrigue with the message of Jesus Christ and his grace and mercy. Jesus told his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And you and I have lived to see the gospel go to the nations. Jesus told that to just a few dozen, perhaps, his apostles and those disciples that had been praying and those that had been following him at post-resurrection. There may have been up to maybe a couple hundred people, but he's calling them out and saying, "Tell the world." And you say, "Well, how could anybody hear that and say, 'Oh, yeah, we'll be glad to do that. You want that by Friday?'" No, but it came true, didn't it? The gospel has gone to the world. Christianity has more followers than any religion in this world, primarily because we're not a religion. We're a relationship with Almighty God through faith in Christ. The ABCs, A, you want to be an everyday missionary, growing in your faith, sharing the good news, telling your testimony. Number one, articulate the gospel. Articulate the gospel. Central to our truth is telling the good news of why Jesus came, what he did, and the offer that any living soul on this planet can receive. That's what the apostles did in Acts chapter 4. And when they had set them in the midst, now they've gotten arrested for preaching Jesus as the Christ in the temple, in the city. The religious leaders didn't like it, so they have arrested them. The Bible says they laid hands on them and brought them in before the Sanhedrin. The court said, "What are you guys doing? By what power or by what name did you do this?" Now, they have preached the gospel, and a lame man got healed, and the man had been lame from birth. And so they're like, "Wait, how did this happen? Tell us." Well, they knew exactly how it happened. They'd heard what was going on. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today according to a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that one the name of Jesus Christ, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well, whole. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has come the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Here they preach the gospel. Jesus of Nazareth, born of a virgin, conceived of by the Holy Spirit, God in the flesh, that supernatural coming to earth in the form of man, living a perfect life, for this purpose, that he might be a ransom for many, that he would be the substitutionary payment, that he would be crucified and paying the price of sin for all mankind. That was our cross, but he laid his life down on it. And the Bible says that he was buried, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead. He said, and by this man, this guy went from lameness by birth to being whole and well. And friend, everybody you meet that doesn't know Jesus is just as lame spiritually, unable to walk with God, as this man was physically. This is a physical illustration of a spiritual truth. We all are lame without Jesus. We can't function. We don't have the ability to know God and to walk with God and to experience life as we've been created to experience it in eternity with God, our Creator. And it's only by Jesus, his death, burial, resurrection, and that extended offer that comes to you, and you receive it by faith and trust and say, yes, Jesus, I believe. It's by faith, by faith, by faith. And God, because of his grace and mercy shown to you in Jesus Christ, lavishes you with his gift of righteousness and says, daughter, come back home. Son that was lost, come back home and walk with me forever and ever and ever. You need to be able to articulate the gospel. It's about Jesus. Tell the good news. Tell why he came. You say, but they don't believe it. It's not yours to argue the gospel, but it is yours to articulate the gospel. Whether they believe or don't believe, that's between them and God. What's between you and God and me and God is, did you tell them? Did you tell them? Now, be able to articulate the gospel. Number two, boldly shares their testimony. An everyday missionary that we're called to be boldly shares their testimony. Now, the word boldly there, for some people, they use it as a baseball bat against an innocent victim. This is not how we present the gospel. But hear me today. Against the powers of unrighteousness, against those that would seek to cancel you as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are called to speak out boldly. Let me also tell you that in that personal relationship, you'll have to overcome the whispering lies of the devil that says, you know, just be quiet. You may offend them. Don't bring it up. Somebody else can tell them. You'll have to boldly overcome that lie that says somehow the grace of God would hurt somebody. No, it won't hurt them. It'll save them. When you preach it in love and care, but the boldness on a one-on-one relationship often is not against the person, it's against the devil that's trying to keep you silent. You say, well, they may just see my good works and just figure the gospel out. No, they won't. You know who'll get the credit? You'll get the credit. They'll be thinking, man, I wish I was like them. Man, I don't want them to think they need to be like me. I want them to know if there's any good, where I get that goodness from. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you got to tell them. That the secret is Jesus. If you see any good thing here, it's Jesus. They will not know it. They'll give you the glory instead of the one that deserves the glory. You got to tell them. And that boldness often is overcoming cultural pressure. Just be quiet. Boy, Acts chapter 4 and 5, the apostles get arrested 3 times by the religious leaders. And it's somewhat comical. The second time, they got arrested again, put in prison. An angel at night opened the doors, set them free, and told them to go right back to the temple and tell them about Jesus. And that's what they did. In the morning, when the Sanhedrin got ready to bring them back before the court, the jailer said, I don't know what happened, but they're gone. The Sanhedrin said, go find them again and get them back here. Well, they knew where to find them. They were out there preaching and telling the good news of Jesus in the temple again. They hauled them back in again. They were threatened the first time, you will not preach Jesus. And the first time they said, well, y'all will have to be the judge if it's right or wrong. But as for us, we can't help it. We can't help it. We got to tell the good news. The third time, when they finally got them back before the court, they said, if you don't stop telling these people that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the hope of the world, we're going to beat you within an inch of your life. And they said, we must obey God rather than man. And they beat them. And the Bible says they went right back out, counting themselves worthy to suffer shame in Jesus' name. And they kept on telling the gospel. Jesus is the hope of the world. They boldly share their gospel. 3 times in Acts chapter 4, it uses the word boldness, boldness, boldness. You and I live in a world that wants to cancel the gospel. Boldness in the New Testament is an interesting word. It's always attached to the idea here in the 4th chapter, the 3 times it's mentioned is actually a Greek compound word that speaks to speaking, all plus the act of speaking. The idea is when you're bold, you have the freedom to tell all the truth. You don't put your finger in the wind and say, I wonder if this will be popular. I better only tell half the truth. I'm a spiritual person. Oh, yeah, that's popular. That's popular. Oh, no, don't say Jesus. That's unpopular. No. Boldness is telling, I'm a spiritual person because of Jesus Christ. Tell it all and let the chips fall where they may. That's boldness. There's a 78-year-old preacher in Northern Ireland last year, was arrested. He's a retired pastor, 78 years old. He preached on John 3:16 in front of a hospital that performed abortions. Now, in Northern Ireland, like in all of England, they have anti-speaking laws about abortion. If you're near a hospital, you can speak it as long as you don't get near the hospital. And if you get near the hospital, they call it hate speech, and you could influence people, and you can't have signs about pro-life and all of that and anti-abortion. And so they outlaw it because they said it's hate speech. This guy was arrested not because he ever mentioned anything about pro-life, never mentioned. He preached a message on God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the court said, you're guilty because the message you preach is associated with pro-life. So even the gospel is against the law of preaching in near a hospital that performs abortion. Now, folks, that is what we call the slippery slope of saying the gospel in the place of Spurgeon in the place of the old world where the Western civilization and Judeo-Christianity impacted deeply and how it came to our culture and our nation, that motherland has gotten so off track, they're arresting a retired pastor for preaching John 3:16. Well, he did it, and he's paying the fine, and that's boldness. It's sad that that is an act of boldness in the Western world. And guess what? It's coming to a country near you. Third, this is the C. Articulate the gospel. B, boldly share your testimony. What has God done in your life? And continually living sent. In this conference, we came across this phrase and we liked it. So we took it. And it helps us understand what everyday missionary is. Continually living with a missionary mindset, living as we are sent to our families, sent to our schools, sent to our businesses, sent to Lincoln County and Brookhaven. And if you travel to Jackson for work, you're sent there as a Christ follower to influence your world with the gospel, to tell the good news and to give your testimony. Every day in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, it says, even though they had been beaten, even though they had been arrested 3 times, they continually, the disciples, their courage, they continued house to house back in the temple. They would not stop sharing the good news, the hope of the world. If we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? How are they going to know if the body of Christ just hunkers down in these walls and just reminisces about the good old days? There are lost people, there are families and kids and moms and dads. The world is not shy about telling them every false doctrine there is. We have the truth. I'm encouraging you today, live like a missionary. Live like a missionary. Live sent for Christ. Some practical tips. Pray, pray, pray. Stop before you go. Pray. Stop. You're going too fast. Stop and pray. And say, God, give me eyes to see the people in my day-to-day the way you see them. Do they know you? Do they need encouragement? Maybe I can be an encouragement to a brother and sister in Christ. Or are they just lost? I mean, they may think just being a good person is going to be good enough. Maybe they need to hear about the grace and mercy and what happened in my life. So pray. Reconnect personally with the gospel. Do not get bored with the death, burial, and resurrection and promise of his soon return. Stay grounded to the gospel, how you were saved, how you've been growing, how the abiding Holy Spirit is empowering your life. Stay connected. Don't get over your salvation. Don't take it for granted that somehow you've got this thing down. You've somehow mastered the basics and you're okay. And you can just go live a separate life. I'm telling you, go back and remember when you were lost. I think about the story of Mary of Magdala, that little fishing community on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. She was possessed, the Bible says, by 7 demons. And in Luke chapter 8, it says she met Jesus. We know her as Mary Magdalene. And Jesus set her free from that demon possession, all 7 of them. She got free, and she never got over it. The Bible says she had some means, and she helped support Jesus and the disciples in his ministry. She never got over her testimony and what the gospel and the life of Jesus did in her life of setting her free and forgiving her. The Bible says when it came to the cross and Jesus was being crucified, there in that fog of what is going on, my Jesus is suffering. Why? But she was there. One disciple had already betrayed Jesus. 10 of them had fled in fear. One, the disciple John, was there with Jesus' mother, and the Bible says the rest of the crowd of his followers were women. And one of them was Mary of Magdala, who had got saved and set free from the demonic possession in her life. And she never got over it. Though she may not have understood what was going on, it was her Jesus, and she was there at the cross. On the third day, it was time to go put the spices on the body. And she had to be there. She, along with the women, went early in the morning when the religious customs allowed them to go. And she was there, but Jesus wasn't. She was one of a handful of the very first disciples that realized Jesus is alive, just like he told me he would. She never got over it. Friend, I'm telling you, you want to be an everyday missionary? Don't get so fancy in your Christianity that you've done God over your salvation. Let it be alive in your heart. Be remembered what you would have been like today without Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, I've come a long way. And I'm sure glad the Lord didn't give up on me and that he kept calling me. Reconnect personally with the gospel. Why? Do you have something to share? Understand the people. Missionaries go in these different cultures, and they look at these people, and they realize these people have a different worldview. They have a different custom, and I'm going to have to communicate in such a way they can understand. I've got to use their language. I can't use my church talk. They don't know what these terms mean. They may not even know the Bible. They may not believe in the Bible. I need to communicate it to where they are and tell them Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. Share your story. Nobody can argue what happened to you. They may not believe you, but you know it's true. Tell them what Jesus has done for you and share your story and then invite people. You know, one of the things that is so effective, everybody wants to belong. No one wants to be on the outside looking in. They want to be on the inside looking. They want to be with people. They want to be. And as busy as we are, there's still people that you're going to encounter this week that are just as empty on the inside. And they're busy. But it really is just the hamster in the wheel, just spinning, going nowhere. Invite them to your youth event. Invite them to a summer camp. Invite them to a ladies' Bible study. One of the things that I've just loved is our Thursday ladies' Bible study. Miss Teresa leads that Bible study. It's been going on now for over 30-plus years. And there are many ladies here who've come to faith in Christ because some lady invited them to a ladies' Bible study. And they meet and they gather in small groups and they study the Word of God and they start hearing about the power and the love of God, and their need has been met in Jesus Christ. The thing they were looking for, it wasn't in a worship service. It wasn't even on Sunday. It was on a Thursday morning. Maybe it's a men's group on Friday morning at 5:30. Maybe it's a children in RAs or GAs or one of our children's programs, or one of the student events, or Sundays at 5 course that's dealing with something. All of our courses are gospel-based, are biblical-based, and it may be something in that world where they're going to hear the gospel. I want to encourage you today, dear friends, ask yourself, what is your next step? What is your next step? Are there people? Is it a matter of I need to be open to it? Is it a matter of my prayer life? Is there preparation I need to be doing while I'm encouraging? Is there things I need to be learning so that I can have more to share? But everybody here can share how Jesus came to you and invite somebody to your Bible study, to your next event at church and invite them to come and introduce them and make them feel at home. And even in that environment, they're going to hear the gospel. We can all do that right now. But let's live like a missionary. Let's live sent. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, mighty God, we come before you today and ask, Lord, that you have your way. Perhaps someone needs a church home here today. Somebody may be being called to be a missionary where they're going to go to a different culture. They're going to give their life sharing the gospel at a different nation and learn a language they don't even know now. We're all called to be missionaries, but some are called to be international missionaries or a vocational missionary or a national missionary in North America. And maybe, Lord, there's people here today that don't know you. I mean, they've heard you and they know the gospel and they know what they need to do, but there's still this reticence. I pray today, Lord, you would overwhelm them with your love and power and your call, and that they would sense their need. Just like those of us who've been saved, we realize we are lost. And our sin, our brokenness, our failures have kept us from you. But there's this great offer from you, Lord, to just receive it by faith and follow you. You are the way we've been looking for. Maybe today someone would say, I'm going to stand and profess Jesus is Lord, and he's my Lord, and follow him and receive the gift of eternal life. Lord, have your way today. Do your work among us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together and you come as the Lord leads us.